Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week the podcast comes from our Foot in the Door event at the University of Essex in Colchester. Foot in the Door events are a chance for people who want to find out more about careers and opportunities in the audio industry and how you break into it. There's guest speakers from leaders in the industry and a chance to network with them as well as ask questions and make connections. I'm going to hand over to guest producers Amos and George now, who chatted to some of the guest speakers and delegates to get their reaction to the day.
We are at the University of Essex for the Foot in the Door Audio Academy event. This event is designed to bridge the gap between dreaming and doing in the world of audio. I am one of your guests, Amos. With my friend George, we will be speaking with legends of the airwaves and industry titans to learn the secret of the craft.
My name's Danielle. I am a part-time presenter at CCR, Chelmsford Community Radio, and I have come here to learn more about radio and more about the people who work in radio.
Lovely. So what made the Audio Academy stand out to you?
Well, I must say, I was recommended it by the lady who's in charge of the radio station where I present, and I thought, wow, it sounds really, really interesting, so I think I'll go along to that event. It sounds amazing. Lots of amazing people, and you never know.
Has anyone stood out to you recently, or who's the person you're like, wow, I need to talk to them?
I heard Aquila Rodriguez, who's a presenter on BBC Essex, and I actually heard her on the radio in my car, so I thought, wow, to hear her in person would be absolutely amazing. So I've got to talk to her.
I'm Aquila Rodriguez from BBC Essex, presenter, podcaster, general creative human.
Nice. Yeah. So what do you say you do at BBC Essex? What's your primary role?
I do the afternoon show, so I present and produce that, which requires finding loads of people to talk to, trying to make it interesting, playing games, and just cheering up people as they drive home at the end of the day, so the 2 till 6 slot.
Very nice. What do you say the biggest challenge you've faced so far in your role at BBC Essex?
Oh my gosh. I mean, what's wonderful is I work with a really great team of producers, so that always helps when you share the load and you work collaboratively. I think for me, making sure things don't get stale. Also, you know, with the political climate, also making sure I'm covering things as best as possible, as wide-ranging as possible, and keeping up to date with just everything that's going on, basically.
It must be a challenge. I try myself, but I'll be honest, it's so much, especially at the minute.
Yeah, it is, but that is where a good team comes in handy, for sure, because they know a lot more than I do. It's great.
And would you say the biggest benefit or joy of your work at the minute is?
Do you know what? It's going to sound so cheesy, but I genuinely just really like to connect with people. And it's funny because I think people call into radio shows a little bit less these days, so you don't necessarily have that one-to-one interaction over the phone. But where social media has become bigger, I do get people send messages and contact me through there saying, oh, I really liked this game, or if I bump into someone at an event and they're like, we really love listening to you in this. And it always surprises me how many people come up and say thank you.
My name's Cleo Wimmel. I'm from London. Just enjoying this whole experience, to be honest. I went to the previous one in Bradford. That was the first time of going to an event like this. I didn't know anything about the Foot in the Door before that. I found out through AI. He said this is a good thing to do. So I came along. It was really good. I do presenting at the moment on a community-based station, just looking to make different moves into different directions. So I thought I'd come here to see, you know, what's available, get some advice, just learn from other people who know more about things than I do.
I'm Connor Knight, I'm a presenter. Where am I? Well, I do the evening show at Fun Kids, I do weekends at Radio Essex, and I'm a cover presenter at BBC Radio 1.
What made you decide that radio was for you?
Well, funny actually, I used to watch Ant and Dec on TV, and I was like, I'd really want to do that, but I don't know if I want to be seen all the time. And then I realised I love music so much, can't sing, can't play an instrument. So I thought, radio, you play the music that you love listening to, and you get to talk in between, I love to talk. perfect fit.
You mentioned earlier about your career and how you started. Where would you say is the most important thing to bear in mind when you're starting to find yourself in the landscape?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. I think we all look for the answer to that question as well, like I definitely did when I first started out. And I don't think there is a necessary perfect answer because everybody's journey and path is totally different. But I think that the thing that I realised is just being yourself at the core of all of it and enjoying everything that you do, but making sure it is true to who you are. You know, like if you're talking about a song on the radio, if you love it, really, really show that you love it, you know. And if you don't love it, you don't have to force loving it. It's okay. Do you know what I mean? To just be really, really sort of cool to who you are, I think is really key.
So you say like authenticity is probably one of the biggest.
Yeah, I think so. Like I think that when you look at radio in general, I was saying it just now in the chat, like for example, if you wanted to be at Radio 1 and you wanted to do the breakfast show, they don't need another Greg. You know, like he's the best and he's doing it and he's fantastic, but who are you and what do you bring to the station that is your own sort of personality and interests? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to what they've already got.
What would you say is your favourite experience you've had thus far working in radio?
I think my favourite experience is probably interviewing Robert Downey Jr. Very Iron cool. Man, I mean, come on. Can't be Iron Man.
No, it's very cool. Very cool. But do you think that it's helped you, I don't know, explore more opportunities and find different aspects about yourself that you might not have experienced before?
Yeah, I think so. I think that radio as well in general and audio in general, whether it be podcasting, radio, anything that you do, I think you grow as an individual doing it 100%. You can bring your interests into the audio space, can't you? Which then can amplify them interests even more. I think it allows you to find confidence, whether it's producer level, presenter level. It's the best industry in the world.
My name is Susie Moffat and I'm a third year student at the University of Essex doing journalism and multimedia.
What is your impression of today's event?
I think it's been absolutely fabulous. Being of a different age group and coming here to discover what's available for older people after they graduate from university. The group of specialists they've had here have been superb. I think they've given young people a great insight on what they can do and how to get their foot in the door, which is very appropriately said.
I agree with you. I suppose myself and you have a little bit, at least in common, not so young coming to university. So I'm in second year, you are in third.
Yes.
What is one thing you're going to do when you get home today to keep this dream alive?
What am I going to do with this when I get home? Well, I have a production idea and they've gave me some sources of who to contact. And so I will keep doing my production even when I finish graduating. And hopefully one day that show will become something that one sees in some sort of audio or visual.
With me are two titans in the industry.
Wow.
Chris Brooke and Mike Kurtz. How will you describe events like this, Chris?
I think it's incredibly useful to have this type of facility. I think back to when I was getting into radio, there was no options like this for me to go to. But to be able to come and talk to people that work on the radio stations, run the radio stations, consult for the radio stations, there's people here that have done all of those different jobs and can definitely help people and point people into the right direction.
What would be your advice for students in Essex and other unions across the country who are thinking of a career in audio?
Get yourself into a community radio station if you're lucky enough at the university you're in. Get yourself into a student radio station and get on air as much as you can. If you want to be a producer, just be in the studio, get in the studio as much as you can. Learn as much as you get, soak up any bits of information you can find. And then when you feel ready, try your local radio station, try a national, try Global or Bauer or Virgin, and just see if you can get in there to do some work experience and watch it happen and see it happen. And listen to as much radio as you possibly can.
Mike, you have been around radio across the globe.
Yes.
In Canada, in Australia, here in the UK.
Yes.
How would you describe what has changed in recent time when it comes to radio broadcasting?
I think the technology has changed, but I don't think the actual content has changed too much. I think the reality is that good audio, whether it's radio or podcast, is essentially about engaging, it's about storytelling, it's putting a smile on somebody's face or informing them. The core basics of why people listened to the radio in the 20s when it was invented through to listening to podcasts now is still kind of that ability to connect and be engaged. And over the years, accents have come through. More genuine stories have come through. People are more authentically themselves. The technology has changed. But I think if we still remember that our job as broadcasters on radio or communicators with audio is to work out what's the story that you're telling, what's the message that you're trying to get across, and talk to the listeners. Always remember what's in it for the listeners. That's the same in Canada, it's the same in Australia, it's the same in the UK.
Let's hear more from Amos and George now as they caught up with FEMAC, presenter at BBC Radio 1 Extra, Henry from KISS Extra, and Kizzy from BBC Asian Network, who all spoke about their experiences of starting on community radio.
You actually learn what works for broadcasts, like the big broadcasters. So that's like the place to go to be able to help with that.
I think it's also a great way to like connect with other budding radio presenters. You're all on the same wavelength. You all want the same things. You can all help each other as well. And I think that's a massive part, because starting out on radio, people just want to like reach out to, you know, the bigger presenters. But working with the people alongside you is just as powerful as well.
What do you say to like young people who are maybe more in the social media landscape at the minute and want to transition to traditional media? What do you think is the biggest thing they need to be aware of?
Like, just take yourself out of it a little bit. Like, personally at community radio, like, I really found like a base. Like, I think it formed me as a person. I made lifelong friends there. Like, you know, it really defined me. And I would say if you're into social media at the moment and you want to go back to traditional media, like, find somewhere that feels like a community. Like, every time I would walk into Westside, I would have been having a bad day. I had like personal things going on, but it was just like, I'm with my brothers, I'm with my sisters, I'm with my besties, like, I'm having a good time. And it was kind of just like that actually made me love the job even more. So yeah, like, go somewhere, go to different community radio stations, and go where you feel most comfortable. Don't like settle. Community, there's so many. Just find one that feels like you, I would say, yeah.
What do you think about the inverse of that question? Like, people that have been more in the traditional media landscape that maybe want to start moving into the social media landscape or using social media to support their career? I know you were speaking about that.
Yeah, just start. That is, honestly, that's the best advice. Start, because even though you get like, you see the numbers and the numbers start to affect you, they shouldn't, because whoever likes it means that you are able to build an audience. You are able to build a community, which is something that I actually have to remind myself.
The industry is famously very competitive. How do you undo no and keep going?
Oh, that's a great good question. Well, you're gonna get a no, but it doesn't mean never. It just means maybe a different direction, or someone else has got your yes. A no should not stop you. A no should just encourage you to keep going, because a yes is around the corner. You just need to keep that faith and just trust in your abilities as well. Don't be afraid to ask for help from mentors. I think that's really important. A lot of young people, I don't think they care about mentorship, but you need someone who knows radio, who knows the business, that will encourage you and be like, okay, you can work on this more, you can maybe change this, you can improve on this. And yeah, don't get complacent.
Earlier on, yes, you said couldn't network properly, you were a bit shy.
Yeah.
What was that moment, I am going to do this?
What a great question. Do you know what? I think it's because of the amount of no's that I'd received and the amount of awkwardness that I felt in this life, for real. From going through all of those experiences, it's like, all right, cool, let me stop forcing myself to do things that I'm uncomfortable with, and let me just work on myself, let me work on my own craft, let me be good at what it is that I do, and then show the world what I've got instead of like begging the world to see me, essentially.
Kizzy, what is one advice that you would give to your younger self back in the
race? Great question. I would say, like, stop being so scared. I think I'm an anxious person naturally. Like, I am an overthinker naturally, but I feel like that doesn't help in this industry. And I feel like now I'm at a place where there's a nice balance of I'm still myself and I still know how to, like, go out and do my job but then have a quiet life. Like, I like that balance. I had so many no's, but it wasn't even that. I would scare myself. I think, yeah, just tell myself, like, calm down. Like, it's all going to be fine, you know? Just have fun.
So my name is Aurelio Koga. I am a presenter and a broadcaster on BBC Radio 1. I do a show every Saturday morning, which is the weekend early breakfast show.
What do you think is the most important thing to prioritise when you're trying to go for a career in radio?
Finding your voice. But when I say finding your voice, it's finding how you communicate whatever lives in your mind, whatever kind of weird, wacky ideas that you have that you want to get across. A lot of people fall into the trap of wanting to be like other radio presenters, but the thing that makes you good is your voice and your perspective and your sort of weird, wacky idea. So I think for me, once I found my voice, it made it a lot easier to kind of like navigate the industry and get opportunities.
In terms of finding your voice, you mentioned that, like, How do you find the parts of yourself that make you uniquely you?
There is a performance that comes with doing the radio, because people feel like you get in the studio, you get in front of the microphone, and like psychologically, you have to perform being a radio presenter, which is natural. But once you kind of like do the 10,000 hours and you get comfortable with doing it, then you can find your voice. So like me, for example, when I go into a studio, right, I obviously don't swear, but also I talk to my producers. I talk to the people in the room. I want the energy to feel conversational. And the moment the microphone goes on, it's like that conversation's already been happening. So it doesn't feel like I need to turn up and magically put something on. It's more of a, I'm just enhancing what's already there. And I think that's how you find your voice. Just being you, how you're talking to me now, talk to me like on the radio. The best presenters are the ones that can talk to you and make it feel like they're having a conversation just with you and you alone. And if you take away the performance element of the radio, it makes it easier to get that connection across.
When it comes to working in the new landscape of social media and marrying that with traditional media, what do you think is the biggest piece of advice for young people who are trying to step into the world of traditional media, maybe from social media?
When it comes to doing both and being in both worlds, you can't skip the work. Like, broadcasting is hard. It's not easy, and you have to do the hard yards. You have to make the mistakes. You have to be able to understand how to communicate. And I think a lot of people want to skip the process and go straight to the top, which is nice, but in going straight to the top, you're going to make those mistakes at the top. With social media, don't treat it like you would treat radio. But with radio, don't treat it like you would treat social media. I think just understanding the audience that you are speaking to and tailoring whatever best part of your personality to that audience is the best way to kind of cut through the noise.
What is your best experience in radio? Like, what's the thing that's made it stand out to you?
There is this adrenaline that comes with opening the microphone and not knowing what you're gonna say next. It is so nerve-wracking, but so exhilarating at the same time. And that is what excites me, because I could say something that sparks a thought in somebody who sends a message in, and now we have a half an hour conversation that we didn't plan. And I think that's what keeps me in this industry. I love speaking to people. I love talking about music. I love talking about entertainment. Yeah, no 2 days are the same, but that really does excite me, because I'm like, today is going to be so different to what we did yesterday. And that's fun. There's jeopardy. And those are the best type of shows to listen to.
What's something that radio has taught you, either about yourself or your career, or what's the thing that took the most amount of learning?
It takes a while to get good, and give yourself grace when you don't sound good, because you were probably listening to presenters on national radio and trying to be like them, or almost questioning why you don't sound as slick and as eloquent as them. I think it took me a while to just accept that I'm not at their level, because I don't have the same level of experience. I haven't spent the same amount of time that they have spent in terms of honing their craft. So I'd actually say giving yourself a lot of grace and just understanding that it might take some time to get there. Some people are very talented and they just have it. Greg James just had it. Some people might take some time to kind of build and develop that, but kind of like enjoying that journey of getting to that point is really fun, because then it's like, oh my God, I remember 5 years ago when I listened and I sounded like this, and now I sound like that. And you can have like a clear timeline of you kind of getting better over time.
I'm now speaking with John Wright, our lecturer here at the Essex University. Tell us your impression of the day.
I've been working with the team at the Audio Academy to put this on, and what an opportunity for our students and for people involved in radio, podcasting, or just kind of interested in getting into the media in general, to have this on their doorstep that they can come along to and have people from national radio, from Radio One, from all sorts of creative backgrounds here willing to sit and chat with them. It's incredible, isn't it?
I am guessing you didn't have this kind of particularly generous opportunity back in the days.
No, and that's really interesting. I mean, one of the conversations of the panel discussions at the start was about the generosity of people within the audio industry. So if you ask for help, or you ask to come and do a thing, you ask for some advice, people are generally receptive to that and will help others, and maybe other industries aren't like that. And I've certainly found that. So that's really beneficial. But to have it kind of concentrated like this and on your doorstep, served up to you, is really, really good. They run these across the the country, and it's great that it could come to Colchester.
For students who are not here with us today but might be listening later on, what is one thing you would like to emphasise?
We've had some really honest conversations about how the reality of it, especially in this world, everyone's kind of Instagram face is about success and celebrating the big things. I've just done a thing, look at me. And there is that, but also there's lows as well. You know, you go for a job, you don't get it. You go for another job, you don't get it. There's only one thing certain about having a radio show, is that eventually you will not have a radio show. It's like football managers. Often there is no kind of graceful exit. You pick yourself up and you have another go and you learn the lessons and you keep trying. And that's maybe a message that doesn't come through in another format. So that's been really useful for people to hear that, because it's hard. If you want to do something worthwhile, it's hard. I mean, that's the nature of life, isn't it? Get on with it.
It's been an electrifying day. The Foot in the Door event was absolutely a success. The energy here is amazing to see. The camaraderie, the love, so many giveaways. So I'm going now is a speed network. And the energy here in the room is it's just so great to see. You can hardly hear yourself. People are sharing ideas. Beliefs are being renewed. I've spoken with so many students who said to me, you know, they are so ever confident in themselves and in their future of journalism.
A big thank you to George and Amos for guest hosting the podcast this week from the event, and to John Wright and all the team at the University of Essex for making us so welcome. Keep an eye on our website for news about other Foot in the Door events later in the year. Voting for the candidates in the Audio Academy Trustee election was meant to close tonight, but it has been extended. Check out the website audioacademy.org.uk for more details and to vote. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Audio Academy podcast wherever you get your pods so that you never miss an episode. And if you fancy leaving us a review, we'd be really grateful. Thanks. Next week, the podcast comes from Radio Days Europe in Riga, Latvia, where some of the Audio Academy team will be giving us a flavour of what it's like at one of the world's biggest audio industry events. I'll see you next week.